Hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome. I am just so, so glad that you're here for Sacred Rhythms. Today is our first of our 5 Sacred Rhythms live classes. For those of you that don't yet know me well, I'm Joanna Lindenbaum, and I am just thrilled to be sharing the powerful and life-changing journey that we'll be going on together over these next weeks. It's a journey that has transformed and deepened and created more alignment in every area of my life, my career, my business, my client work, my marriage, my health, my parenting, my friendships, but maybe even more importantly, it's a journey that's transformed how I live my everyday life, how I view myself and my place in this world, how I wake up every morning and move through my days, how I honor and show up as a steward of the earth, and how I understand life itself. My own Sacred Rhythms journey started over 18 years ago. I was living in Manhattan back then, and I was what I like to call a baby ritualist coach and entrepreneur. I was still working full-time in my 9-to-5 job as a curator in an art museum. But on the side, along with my business partner and my partner in crime, an incredible woman named Dawn Copeland, and look her up, she's amazing. On the side, even though I had this full-time job, we took what we had learned about the seasons and cycles of the year from our training as ritualists, from incredible mothers of the women's spirituality movement, specifically our mentor, Susan Mary Hellerer, and the writers Star Hawk and Donna Hennis. We took all of that, and together Dawn and I developed the Sacred Rhythms Method, a method of how to live your life and move your projects forward based on the cycles of the earth, the moon, and the sun, a meaningful way of becoming adept at starting things at the right time, growing things at the right time, harvesting things at the right time, and letting go of things at the right time. Not just of knowing when the right time, the right moment to do each of those things with various projects and relationships in life, but of also having the courage and the wherewithal and the ability to do so. When Dawn and I developed Sacred Rhythms, the very first thing we did was apply it to our own lives. And the results were both magically subtle as well as dramatic. For me, I was finally able to let go of a romantic relationship that was going nowhere for a really long time, which opened the way for me to meet John, who is now my husband. I was able to build the confidence in myself to start putting my heart's work into the world and in bigger ways, which allowed me to finally take the leap and leave my day job and make a real living from the work I knew I was meant to do. I finally moved from Manhattan to Brooklyn, which had been calling to me, but until that point, until really using Sacred Rhythms, I didn't have the motivation to actually make the move. Dawn and I also started teaching the Sacred Rhythms Method to others, and we saw right away the incredible impact that it had. Misaligned marriages were finally put to rest. New jobs were magnetized. Creative projects got off the ground. Smokers quit smoking, on and on. But maybe even more importantly than all of that, we found both in ourselves and in our students a deeper willingness to honor and be present to all of the experiences of life, to the joy and the grief, to the ease of life and also the inevitable pain. A deeper understanding and appreciation of our strengths and a deeper acceptance of our weaknesses, we found that both for us and our students, we felt less shame around some of the circumstances in our lives, more motivation to walk a path of alignment and of magic and of depth, detached from the trappings of the go, 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 more, more, more lifestyle. Sacred rhythms wasn't something that I used once and then put away. It's become a part of every cell and every fiber of my being. I live it and I breathe it daily. And of course, just so you know, not perfectly at all. I fall off track just like everyone else. We're not going for perfection here. But I really use it daily. I've integrated it fully. I make decisions based on it, on this method. And I credit so much of the massive success of my business to being able to integrate sacred rhythms. I've also continued to develop that method quite a bit since Dawn and I first conceived of it in 2001. So over these next weeks, we're going to be going deep into the cycles of the earth and the sun and the moon, deep into how to bring more movement and flow and love and awareness into the projects and the relationships that matter the most to us. Deep into who we are as individuals and how to experience more meaning and satisfaction and peace in our lives. And of course, my stealth mission in all of this is that the learning and integrating of sacred rhythms will also take each of us to our next evolution as stewards of our own lives, as well as stewards of the earth and humanity, especially at this particular moment in history where I believe that we have the opportunity to really rewrite our personal and our collective futures. So before we go any further, I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Thank you for listening to the call of your soul to be present here to do this sacred work. Thank you for showing up, for putting your time and energy into this during this critical moment in history. It's going to be an experience that will help you be an even more authentic and effective leader to those around you and to create the ripple effects that I know this circle of amazing people in this program will create in the world. So I want to share, before we jump in, I want to share a little bit about the format of this program, of how things are going to look over the next 5 weeks so that you know what you're in for, and also so that you know the ways that you can use this experience to really get what you need. There's a lot of opportunities for learning. There's a lot of opportunities for support, and I want to just go over all of the different ways so that you know it and you get it. So first of all, we'll have our 5 live calls. Today is kind of an intro call into the concept of sacred rhythms as a whole. And then for the next 4 weeks, each week is going to be dedicated to a different season and a different archetype that embodies the season. In each of the calls, particularly the archetype calls, we're going to be doing embodiment work of the archetypes. We're going to be doing a lot of inner work, and then also understanding how each of the archetypes and each of the seasons and each of the energies functions. We'll do that for ourselves, but also I know a lot of you here are interested in applying this to your client work or to your teams, you know, the work that you're doing. So we'll pick some of that apart too. Now, I'm not going to be teaching you coaching skills through all of this like I do in the Sacred Depths coach training. I'm not going to be teaching you how to craft breakthrough questions. I'm not going to be teaching you how to create deeper, creating deeper awareness skills. We're not going to be looking at listening skills or strategizing skills or befriending your fear skills or negative rewiring negative thought patterns. So this isn't a coaching skills class, but what I will be doing is picking apart the sacred depths, wisdom, and methodology for you and pointing out how you can apply it to your client work. Now, today's class is not an archetype class. We're going to start although we will be doing a little bit of archetype work in today's class, we're going to start next week. So today, just to say, today's class is not going to be as sexy, if you will, as the rest of our classes, but it's going to be really important foundational work that you need in order to really go deep with the archetypes. For those of you that listened to and participated in the Awareness Lab, some of what we're going to look at today is a little bit of a review of it, but we're also going to go deeper with each of the concepts that we looked at in the Awareness Lab. So don't shut down or close your ears or tune out. If it's stuff that we looked at last week, open your ears even more so you can get to the deeper layers of it. So we're going to have our five classes. And then we're also going to have our Facebook group, which if you didn't yet receive an invitation for, you should have today, or you will be receiving it today. And I really love to participate in Facebook groups. I love to hear from you. I'll be giving additional homework assignments and like little pieces and morsel of wisdom and content and curriculum in the Facebook group. So definitely make sure to join the Facebook group. You can either look in your inbox, hopefully you already got that invitation, or you can just look it up under Sacred Rhythms and join. We also have a couple of bonuses. So first of all, our content calls each of these 5 weeks are going to be 90 minutes long, but I've added an extra half hour to those 90 minutes so that our calls are 2 hours long. The last 30 minutes, last half hour of each call, I'm going to open up for business Q&A. So we'll have Q&A throughout the 90 minutes of the main part of the call. Time for reflection. I want to hear your shares, your takeaways. You'll get coached by me. But the last 30 minutes is going to be specifically Q&A, and you can bring forward any questions, not only on the content that we're learning, but on anything that you need for your business. Because I know that for those of you that are in business right now, not everybody here is, but if you are in business, I know, especially with the pandemic going on, it's a moment where we need some extra support, some extra strategizing, some extra coaching, some extra looking at what's happening with our fears and our limiting beliefs. And so every week you have that bonus time to just ask me anything that you need in order to move forward. The other bonus that you'll be receiving is a 90-minute training call on the energetics of the coaching container. It's the very first module of the Sacred Depths coach training. I know some of you here have been through Sacred Depths, so you know it well, and you know how important energetics is. Whether you have clients or not, if you're in a relationship with anyone else, with partners, with children, with team members, with coworkers, it's a training that you want to listen to and take in. It will teach you how to start to begin to create an even cleaner energy and container in any of your relationships, particularly the client relationships, so that there's deeper trust, deeper vulnerability, more openness, and more ways for moving forward. So that's how we're going to be working together. And here's, for those of you that don't yet know me well, here's what I want you to know about me. I show up fully. Like, I am here for you 110%. I want you to ask questions. I want you to share your celebrations or where you're getting stuck or wisdom that's coming through, takeaways. I will answer every single last one of your questions. I am, those of you that know me know, I'm so devoted. I want to help. I'm here to support you. But you need to show up, right? So if you show up, if you ask questions, if you ask for my support, whether it's on the calls or in the Facebook group, I will be there with open arms to meet you. So please participate, please show up, and be fully present. Now, I mentioned that particularly starting next week, as we look at each of the seasons in depth and each of the archetypes in depth, we're going to be doing embodiment work. So I just want to spend a minute or two sharing a little bit about what that means. Archetype embodiment is basically some of the most powerful personal work that you can ever experience. It's one thing to learn facts about how to do something on an intellectual level, but it's another thing entirely to walk a sacred journey, to be able to not only understand but own the skills on a heart, soul, and body level. And that's what embodiment does. It allows you to own an energy, to own skills, to own wisdom, not just in your mind, but in what we call in sacred depths the four levels of learning and transformation: your mind, your heart, your soul, and your body. Embodiment is a process by which your cells alchemize in order to be more able to access the skills that you need to live an aligned and satisfying life. So embodiment is really, it's about taking it deeply into your cells and into your body. So you have to think and debate and wonder about, you know, how to do something, but you own it inside of you. You embody the energy of the destroyer, of the fool, of the sovereign, of the lover. So as I said, this really necessitates that those four levels of learning and transformation, not just in your mind, but to really learn it through your heart, through your feelings, through your emotions, to learn it through your body, and to learn it on that spirit or soul level as well. It's always easier to activate all four levels of learning and transformation in person, but it's also very possible to do it online. And so we're going to be pushing the envelope as far as we can with our online experiential work so that you can really embody these archetypes. Now, the other thing I want you to know about embodiment and about all work and transformation in general, this is something we talk about a lot in the Sacred Depths Coach Training, and I know a lot of you have heard this from me before, but I always like to emphasize it, is there's a difference between a breakthrough and a transformation. We're going for transformation here, not just breakthroughs. So breakthroughs are awesome. They're spoken about a lot in the transformational industry, but they're misused. So the term is misused. What a breakthrough actually is a new piece of awareness, right? When we figure out something new, when we see something new. But it's different than a transformation. A transformation is when we take the breakthrough, when we take that new piece of information that we've discovered about ourselves or about the world or whatever it is, and we apply it persistently and consistently in order to create real and long-lasting change with it. That's the transformation. Now, why do I bring this up? I bring this up because embodiment and because all of learning is not a once-and-done thing, right? So on each, what that means is that on each of our calls, there's going to be breakthroughs, hopefully, that are happening, and we're going to start to really take in and own these new energies and use them and leverage them. But if you really want to own them, if you really want to integrate them, if you really want the transformation from them, you're going to want to apply them, you're going to want to use them, you're going to want to practice them, not just the one time in class, but persistently and consistently. It takes time. And so because of that, each week I'm going to be giving you homework with different practices to go deeper. Now, I'm sure that you, like myself, are busy. You've got a lot of things. For me, this pandemic has not really slowed things down. I have my children at home 24/7. In some ways, it's sped things up. In some ways, I have a lot less time than I did before. So I don't want to overload you guys with homework. It's all, you know, by invitation only. I'll give you suggestions throughout the week so that you can really be persistently and consistently going deeper with the breakthroughs. Okay. So, taking all of that into consideration, let's take a few moments so that you can really get settled and grounded into why you're here and how you're going to make the most of this, the most of this experience. And so I've got a couple of journaling questions for you. First question, why are you here in Sacred Rhythms? Why have you chosen to invest your time and energy and show up here? Why is this important to you now? Take a moment with that. Why are you here? And I want to invite you to look even beyond why you thought you registered for this experience when you registered. So that, for whatever reason you did then, 100%. But I think for a lot of you, there's maybe even a deeper reason why you're here. Perhaps. Why are you here? Next question, what is it that you would like to receive through this month that we have together? What is it that you would like to receive? I ask this question because you can't receive, you can't get, or I shouldn't say you can't, but you're more likely to get what you desire if you know what it is, right? So what is it that you would like to receive from this experience? Consider inner as well as outer. So often in our lives, and culture perpetuates this, we focus on the outer. I want to grow my business. I want to make more money. I want to nicer home, whatever it is. Those are important. I don't want to take away the importance of those things. But I also want to invite you to focus on the inner too, right? So on an inner level, what is it that you really want to receive? Why is it that you're really here? Next question, knowing yourself the way that you do, and I know that the people that are attracted to work with me are incredibly smart and incredibly self-aware and already know themselves very well. So knowing yourself the way that you do, what is it that you want to keep in mind about your own resistance and your own habits? So that you can really get the most out of Sacred Rhythms. So knowing yourself the way that you do, what is it that you want to keep in mind about your resistance and your habits so that you can really get the most out of this experience? So for just as an example, maybe you know about yourself that you start programs strong and then somewhere around the third week you drop off, right? So call yourself out on that now, so that there's the opportunity for you to show up in a different way here. Or maybe you know that you tend to be really quiet when there's opportunity for share, even though you really want to be seen and heard, right? So call yourself out on that so that maybe there's an opportunity for something different here. Or maybe you know that you just never make time for homework, even though you desire to. So call yourself out on that. or maybe you know you tend to be very judgmental and shut down, right? So whatever you know about yourself, your resistances and your habits, what do you want to keep in mind so that you can really get the most out of this experience? Next question. Considering all of the questions that you just answered, how is it that you desire to show up? How is it that you desire to show up for these 4 weeks? And then finally, taking all that's come through so far, I want to invite you to identify a sacred commitment or a sacred promise that you would like to make as we step into this experience to yourself, right? So what is a sacred commitment or a sacred promise that you would like to make to yourself? Maybe the sacred commitment is about how you're showing up here, right? But it might be something else. Might be around committing to your self-care or whatever it is. For you. No wrong answers here. But take a moment, identify what that sacred commitment or promise is and write it down. And then take a moment right now and in any way that feels important to you, I want you to make the commitment, make the vow, make the promise. So it can be, you can close your eyes, put a hand on your heart, speak it out loud or breathe it in, or whatever it is for you, but really take a moment and make that sacred commitment to yourself. Beautiful. And so when you get into the Facebook group, I think I already put a post in there. I'd love for you to share why you're here and what your sacred commitment is. To share it so that we can all connect, but also so that you can really take the commitment a step further and deeper by expressing it publicly and being seen in it. Okay. So, one of the components of sacred rhythms, this idea, this concept of sacred rhythms is being in rhythm, right? That's why it's called sacred rhythms. So what does being in rhythm mean? What does being in sacred rhythm mean? Well, to me, it's the idea that when you're fully and deeply attuned to the energies that are present around you, to one of the four phases of any cycle, when you're deeply attuned to the energies that want to emerge for a particular project or in your life in general, and when you can act on that energy, then you and your projects and your relationships are in a sacred rhythm. It's sacred not only because it connects straight into the natural rhythms of the earth and the sun and the moon, etc., the natural world, but also because it's aligned. It supports you. It's valuable and beneficial to be in the rhythm, to be in the flow instead of fighting against it. When you're in sacred rhythm, the way I see it, it's as if you were joining with the most readily available energy in that moment and harnessing it and leveraging it instead of pushing to tap into a less available energy, one that you're going to have to fight against. So that's how I see it. But I want to invite you to take a moment and define for yourself what it means to you to be in an experience of a sacred rhythm. What does it mean to you to experience a sacred rhythm or sacred rhythms? What does it look like? How does it feel? What is the experience? So take a moment with that, jot down some notes. Define for yourself what it means to be in sacred rhythm. What are the truths that you know when you're in sacred rhythm? You can maybe even add that to the mix as well. So how does it feel? What does it look like? What's the experience? What are the truths that you know? Okay, now I asked this question in the assessment lab. I'm going to ask it again, and even if you answered it last week, I want you to consider this again. So where in your life and your work, your relationships, think all areas of your life, your home projects, where in your life are you currently in sacred rhythm, and where in your life are you currently not in sacred rhythm, based on how you've defined it for yourself, right? So where in your life and work and any aspect of your life are you in sacred rhythm, and where are you not currently in sacred rhythm? I'll give you a minute for that. Think about your health, your creative projects, each of your relationships, friendships, client relationships. It's good to notice with clients, sometimes things can get out of sacred rhythm, right? You just take note. got a couple more questions around rhythm. What are two or three clues, inner or outer, that let you know that you're in rhythm? And what are two or three clues, inner or outer, that let you know you're in disrhythm? What are two or three clues that let you know you're in rhythm? Like, I know for me, if I'm getting a good 8 hours of sleep at night, usually, in general, I am more in rhythm. I know for me, if I'm in my anxiety a lot, it means I'm in disrhythm. So for you, what are two or three clues that let you know you're in rhythm? What are two or three clues that let you know you're out of rhythm? When I'm overworking, I am out of rhythm. I am in disrhythm. Now, sometimes I work a lot and it feels really good. That's the case. When it doesn't feel like overwork, even if it's a lot of work, I'm in rhythm. But if I'm exhausted from it, I'm in disrhythm. And then last question around rhythm itself, how was being in sacred rhythm or not being in sacred rhythm, as you've defined it for yourself today, modeled for you growing up? How was being in sacred rhythm or not being in sacred rhythm, as you're starting to see it for yourself, modeled for you growing up? Right, because we learn a lot about how to be or not be in the world based on what was modeled for us. Okay, I'm going to go a little bit further, and then I'm going to open up for some shares, because hopefully some things are being starting to show themselves. Some things are being stirred up here. So I want us to look at for a few minutes at survival instincts. Now again, as I mentioned earlier, for those of you that were with me last week for Awareness Lab, some of this is going to sound familiar, but we're going to go deeper with it today. So this is not a moment to turn your ears off if you heard some of this last week. This is actually a moment to get to the deeper layers of it. So there are certain types of messages that our survival instincts give us. Some of those messages are helpful. But then some of those other messages are maybe not so helpful. Now, why do we get unhelpful? Well, let me give you some examples of unhelpful messages from our survival instincts. So, for example, maybe our survival instincts, especially during an emergency moment, right, or a pandemic, or just a moment of stress in our lives, maybe our survival instinct says, do more, right? This is a moment to do more. If you don't do more, then, you know, quote unquote, you're going to die, right? Whatever that means. Things will fall apart. You won't have enough, whatever it is. Or another survival instinct that maybe isn't so helpful. And this happens, you know, a lot of you that are in the transformational industry, I'm sure you recognize this one, is market more, right? You haven't marketed enough. You need to do more. You're back to the do more, but specifically around marketing. Or maybe your survival instinct is the opposite of that. Don't market at all or don't do anything. You know, maybe you go into freeze, right? Maybe right now a survival message that isn't so helpful is to pivot, right? Pivot in your business, pivot in your relationship, pivot in your home. It's like there's this emergency moment, and so you have to switch things up. Maybe that's an old survival instinct. Maybe you've got a survival instinct that's telling you you've got to be perfect at something, at homeschooling, at whatever it is. So we have some survival instincts that are helpful, and then we have others that aren't so helpful. So why is this? Well, there was once a time, many millennia ago, in the time of saber-toothed tigers, where human beings could trust their instincts more. That's because they had less distractions, less social trappings, less media, and because they were more connected to the earth and the cycles of the earth. They had more access to natural moonlight at night. They spent more time on the earth. They spent all their time on the earth. There was more of a reverence for the earth back then, and they literally had to live their lives according to the seasons. But today, because of all of the distractions of modern life, because of all of the social trappings of modern life, because of all of the excesses of modern life, and because we've become, in many ways, disconnected from the earth and her cycles, and also because of trauma in some cases, our instincts are not as reliable. Those old survival instincts have actually become warped in a way. They've become misinformed. For many people in today's world, our instincts are actually at odds with our intuition or with higher wisdom. And yet, even though we have those outdated survival instincts, those twisted or those warped or those misinformed survival instincts, many of us act, or rather react, from those outdated survival instincts, not from the wisdom or the intuition. So in other words, our actions and our experiences are being dictated by an unreliable yet very strong source. I'm going to say that again. Many of our actions and our experiences and our feelings are being dictated by an unreliable source. So, for example, we might confuse the actual need to work more on something that simply needs more of our attention and focus with the false survival reaction that the project just simply isn't working or needs to be let go of. Or maybe we confuse the actual need to let go of something that truly no longer serves us with the outdated survival reaction to cling on to it for dear life. Or maybe we confuse the reality that a particular project or aspect of our life is actually flourishing and maybe doesn't need so much of our hard work anymore with the outdated survival instinct that we need to work ourselves to the bone no matter what. Or maybe we confuse the reality that a new, better project or way of being is ready to emerge with the outdated survival instinct that starting something new will lead to utter failure. Again, some of our survival instincts can insidiously warp the reality that is in front of us and send us messages that are simply reactions from fear instead of sound words of wisdom. So it's really valuable to become aware of the outdated messaging, those outdated survival instincts, so that we can learn how to work better with them and to override them in moments that they're actually meant to be overridden. Take a moment and write down for yourself, what is an unhelpful message, like the top one, that your survival instincts have been giving you lately? What's an unhelpful message that's coming from the outdated survival instinct? So maybe for you it's do more, go more, be more, market more. Or maybe for you it's change. You've got to change course on everything that you're doing. Or maybe for you it's, just freeze, right? Don't do anything. Stay in bed. Get out of pajamas. That's usually less a message, right? And just more the feeling. Or maybe for you, it's amass more. This is a big one. I come from a Jewish lineage. And a big one because of Jewish history is you make sure that you've got, if things fall apart, that you have enough to survive on. Right now, that can be a helpful instinct, but if it becomes warped, it becomes a fear of needing to create more or amass more. Maybe one of your outdated survival instincts is to, isolate from others, or maybe to lean on others too much to a point where you're not taking responsibility for yourself. Right, so there can be a wide range. For you right now, which is the biggest? Which is the one that's rearing its head the most in not so helpful ways? All right, now let's take this a step further. Whatever that unhelpful message is from the outdated survival instinct, whatever you've identified as the one that's the biggest right now, let's pretend that that survival instinct has a voice. Let's pretend that that survival instinct is a living, breathing energy and entity that can speak. And what I want to invite you to do is we'll spend about 3 minutes doing this. I want you to channel it. And if you haven't channeled before, that's not something weird or woo-woo. I'll explain what that means in a moment. It's basically I want you to write from this entity's voice a message to you. So the rules here, there's some writing rules. The rules are when I tell you to start writing, you'll just start writing. Start with the message, right? Write it down, and then just keep on writing from the voice of that instinct. Write as fast as you can. Don't worry about grammar or how it sounds or what it means, none of it. Let's just get deeper into what this voice says, what it has to say to you, what it wants you to know. So you're going to imagine that the survival instinct is a living, breathing entity, and you're going to just write what its voice has to say. You can start now, and I'll let you know when about 2 or 3 minutes are up. And just keep on writing. And if you're not sure, if you get to a point where you don't know what to write, just write. Keep on writing the last word that you wrote until the next pieces come. Let your reptilian brain, let your survival instinct speak to you through writing. On writing, see what else it wants to say. Ongoing, what does that survival instinct want you to know? Got another 30 seconds. Keep on writing. See what else wants to come through. All right, you can take a moment and finish that thought, finish that sentence. And now, with your kind of like an assessment cap, if you're a coach, your coaching cap, put that on. I know we've always kind of got our coaching caps on, those of us that are coaches. And read over what you just wrote, what your survival instinct just shared. And see what wisdom or connections or patterns or understandings come through as you read it. And see what you notice. And just read over everything you just wrote. All right, so let's take a moment here and pause. What's coming through so far? Either around the outdated survival instincts or around sacred rhythm or sacred disrhythm. What are you seeing? What are you learning? What are you noticing? What's coming through? I'd love to hear from a couple of you. You can press star 2 to share. Dana.
Hey, Joanna. So I was on the other call around gaining awareness, and it was fun to delve back into this because I'm still not sure if I'm totally sure about my survival instinct, like what end is it? So right now I've totally removed myself from social media and really doing any sort of inspirational messaging and space holding in that realm. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not sure if that's like freezing and isolating out of survival instinct or The other end is there's a part of me that's saying, like, you have to be on social media now. You have to keep the visibility up in that realm. So it's hard for me to, like, tell which ones are survival. But when you said channel, I just dove in and, like, checked out what came up. And the first things I wrote was, like, get back on social media now. Keep doing outreach. Like, people are going to forget about you. If you're not showing up in this space of crises, then, like, you can't be a leader. This is your opportunity to step into leadership. So I guess that's probably the voice of it versus the other side.
Yeah. Anytime there's a you have to, did you even notice? And maybe everyone else noticed this too, right? And this is a good coaching point, right? Like that, how your energy changed when you said you have to, you need to, right? To me, that sounded like a survival instinct, not like a place of deep wisdom.
I totally agree. It does, and that's how I feel it. But I know that I have a habit of, like, freezing and needing a lot of spaceishness. And then by the end of that, I got to a point, like, you've taken a break long enough. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. You don't have to hide out totally.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm wondering, is that the wisdom coming in, or is that, you know, it's interesting to sort through.
Yeah, I love it. And so what oftentimes happens is when we lean in to the outdated survival instinct and the fear, it eventually comes to that place of wisdom, you know, as we, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to invite everybody to do it. It's not going to happen for everyone, but it may start from one place and then find more of that wisdom place. It almost moves out of itself in a way. So I would say, based on how I heard the energy in your voice change right now, is my guess is there is more of a balanced place with the social media and the outreach. But you know, continue to kind of sit with that for yourself and see.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, it was interesting because I wanted to be so black and white, but what I realized, because then I went back to the other place, if you hide out, people will forget about you. So I was doing the dance, so I think it is, like, but I can feel the difference in what, you know, what my intuition, if I, like, lean into the subtleties of it more.
Yeah, good.
So, good. Thank you.
Thank you. Take a couple more shares here. Who is this from my hometown in North Carolina? 5471 are your last numbers. I've taken you
Kara.
Off. Hi, Kara.
Can you hear me okay? I'm outside.
Yeah. Hi.
Cool. I'm a little out of breath because the only way I could get time to listen is to go for a walk with a kid in a stroller. So I'm walking and riding, seriously. So that was really interesting, this writing. I haven't done that in a while. I know that we've done it in the past, the sort of, like, channel the thing writing. And it's always interesting what comes out of the pen. So I thought I would just share with you my survival instinct from when I was on the call last week. What came up was, I don't remember if it was when we were talking about survival instinct, but it was when you were sort of talking about your Holocaust background, or your, not your background, but your heritage, and having that in, you know, in your lineage, and I also do as well, and it was something that, you know, was talked about my whole life, my whole childhood, and that it's interesting. I mean, if you know me, and know that hiding out is something I do really well, that's what came to me on the last call, was sort of about, like, maybe there's a deeper place where that could be coming from, in being seen. And there's more to that, which I won't take time up talking about. But what came through today was actually a different survival instinct, but sort of similar.
Uh-huh.
And it was dress rehearsing tragedy.
And,
like, expecting disaster, prepare for disaster instead of preparing for opportunity.
I love it. I'm getting chills as you're talking.
So,
that feels really important.
I wrote, like, kind of an interest. Well, the thing wrote an interesting paragraph that I feel like maybe wants to be heard. And it, when I wrote what.
Could you share what.
From the voice
of
the survival
instinct. In the Facebook, can you share that in the Facebook group?
I could, yeah.
Okay, great.
I don't want to take too much time.
No, no, it's okay. But I'm glad you're bringing this forward, and I think it's potent not just for you, but for many of us, this difference of the distinction between dress rehearsal for the worst versus dress rehearsal for opportunity, and how often we go into one than the other. I'm so glad that came through. Thank you. Good. All right, let's hear from some more of you. Patty. Patty.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. So I'm laughing because I think my survival instinct is hoarding.
Just
like my mother did. My mother came from the Depression. They hoarded food. Well, I happened to hoard courses. I research and buy and purchase, and I've been crazy with it, especially during this time. But when I hoard it, I love it. Like, I get so much energy. Oh my God, this is what I want to do. You know, it's speaking to me, but then it sits there and I don't do anything with it. That's what I do.
So tell me if I'm getting this right, because I might be reading too much in between the lines. So you tell me, but I think what I'm hearing, Patty, is there's a part of the bringing in the horses that's energizing, but at a certain point when it kind of crosses the line into hoarding, it almost gets too heavy and it weighs you down into inaction. Am I getting that right?
Oh yeah, that's exactly what happens. And then I think that's why my business, I mean, I've had this dream for about maybe like 15 years. And I think that's exactly why I haven't really done anything. I get so overwhelmed and I don't know where to begin, where to start, then I get stuck.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. So for you, this awareness is so important. And what I would say for you, the next step here is to not get rid of the don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? Because I am hearing that part of it energizes you. So for you, it's about starting to energetically find the line when you cross over into the hoarding, right? Because you don't want to cut it off completely and not have the thing that energizes you. But then when is that energy more of a manic energy, right? And that eventually weighs you down. So I'm so glad you're bringing that forward.
I love it. Thank you. Thanks so much. Yep.
These shares are so great. There's a lot of hands raised. I'm going to try to get to as many as I can. Inbal.
Thanks, Joanna. So one of the things that really came up for me when it was like, where in your life are you in sacred rhythms and where are you not, is that at first it was like, well, I'm not in terms of sleep or honoring, where I'm at. But then I was like, well, I am in terms of giving myself what I need and setting boundaries. Then I'm like, but also not, like with this person. So it just really brought, even more clearly that it's not just like a binary or black and white. Yeah. And so, if you can reflect on that, because I think it's an important reminder.
Yeah, it is. I don't know that I have that much more to say on it other than
Glad
you're bringing it forward. It's not, that's why I don't ask, are you in rhythm or disrhythm, period, right?
Okay.
That's why I ask what are the places, because unless, you're in a place where you're so utterly stuck, there's going to be a whole range. And the reason why it's so important to notice that is, number one, the ways that we move forward is to honor, one of the ways we move forward is to honor that there are things that are already working, right? So there are things that are already working. And also the details are important so that we don't try to go, I mean, we should never try to quote unquote fix anything, but for lack of a better word in this moment, it's misplaced energy to just like take a wrecking ball to everything, right? We want to assess and see where is our attention and focus needed. So you're right, it's not a one or the other, a binary, and seeing the different shades and where things fall is really important. So I'm so glad you're bringing that forward. Thank you.
Thanks.
Take a couple more. Let's see. Rachel from the UK.
Ah, hello.
Hi.
Nice to meet you, Joanne.
You too.
And to hear the voices of the wonderful women on the call. Thank you for this exercise. I find that it's really timely for me to be here. The exercise about the survival instinct. I'd already identified the hiding last week, but I hadn't heard the voice of it. I didn't know what it was saying. And so it was really confusing for me. But this exercise, it has spoken. Mm-hmm. And it's a bit alarming in places. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I haven't got to the wisdom yet. I feel like I need to hear some more from that.
Yeah. Yes, sir. First of all, I'm so glad that you're having the opportunity now to lean in more. And there's a couple of pieces. So first, it sounds like this voice is wanting to be heard and explored a little bit more. So even though it's not fun sometimes to look at these things that are, like you said, alarming, what's important is you're starting to bring it out of your blind spot now so that you can really see it. When the more that we can see something, see a voice, see an energy inside of us, the less power it has over us and the more that we can harness it.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Just by simply starting this process, you're starting to kind of befriend it. In a way. The other thing that I'm wondering about is I know it's not comfortable at all to see something inside of ourselves that feels alarming. I just really want to honor first that you went there and that you were willing to be present to it. And what I'm wondering is by seeing this thing inside of you that is alarming to you, is that helpful for you in any way? It may not be, but I'm wondering if it's helpful in some way.
Yeah,
and if so, what?
Oh, sorry. I find it to be really good information, actually.
Yeah.
Really good information.
Yeah, how so? What are you seeing?
Well,
even if the full wisdom isn't there yet.
I think it's just reminding me that I have been through cycles like this before.
Yeah.
You know, where the opportunity has opened up and I have stepped back rather than in.
Mm.
I can't remember the lady that was speaking before about, you know, she was saying about whether to be on Facebook or not. I mean, that hearing that back was really good.
Yeah.
Because I share that experience.
Yeah.
But it's the leaning back and all of the conversation that justifies me leaning back.
Yes.
So that this information from the channel is helping me to understand that that's really stagnant and it's not in my sacred place.
Yes.
So if exploring that, if I need to be in the discomfort, I'm okay. I can do that.
Yeah, I hear that.
Actually, with you here, which is why I'm here. I'm here to be held so that I can do this. So that's good information. So thank you for helping me connect that. That's good information for me to have.
Yeah, so happy to hear it. Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. I've got still a lot more to share with you all today, so I'm going to lower the rest of the hands for now, but we're going to have plenty of time in a little bit for shares and Q&A and all of that. So hang on just a little longer. All right, I want to speak a little bit about, so, you know, what I said before is that one of the reasons why those survival instincts become warped is because we disconnect. And for many of us, we're disconnected. One of the things that we're disconnected from is to the earth itself, and to the cycles, and to the seasons. And for millennia, really up until these modern times, people in all the lands were deeply, deeply connected to the earth and to the seasons and to the cycles, so much so that their lives were guided by it. And they could rely more on the survival instincts because of that connection. Because, for example, if the instinct was to gather up and hoard, that was going to happen during a harvest moment where that made perfect sense because the winter was actually coming and there was the bounty there for it. If there was the instinct to slow down and to become really silent, well, that was a reliable instinct because that was in the winter. Where things were quiet and the land wasn't producing and there literally was less work to do. So we've become disconnected to those cycles, and so much of this journey is about reconnecting to them. Even though we live in our houses or our apartment or wherever we live, that's not, you know, on the land itself, even though we're, unfortunately, and I count myself as part of this, many of us in front of technology way more than making the time and space to just lay on the ground or track the moon or whatever it is, right? We do have opportunities to connect in more. So I want to lay out the cycles and talk about the cycles a little bit now, so that as we move into each of our weeks and we inspect each of the phases and the archetypes deeply, you know, we have a sense of that full cycle. So if you look at pretty much anything in nature, the sun, the moon, the breath, year, whatever it is, you're going to find that any cycle in nature can essentially be broken down into four main phases. Planting, which we can look at as the springtime, or the morning, if we're looking at the cycle of a day, that would be the morning time. Or if we're looking at the cycle of a month, that would be right at the new moon. So this part of the phase is planting. It's about initiation. It's about new beginnings. It's about starting things fresh. It's about being willing to start something new. It's about the aliveness of new things. Not in that experienced way, right? But almost in this, like, everything is new. Everything is kind of, we don't know what's coming next. We don't have all those expectations yet. We've just planted, right? And we can see, if we look to even just world religions, we see in almost every culture an honoring of this phase at the time of, around the time of the spring equinox, which is when basically we've moved out of winter, and equinox means equal, and that's because on the spring equinox, there's exactly 12 hours of daylight and 12 hours of nighttime. And it's a time for planting, right? And so at this time of year, we see, for example, for millennia, the spring equinox was celebrated as a moment of new beginnings, of a rebirth. And then the spring equinox kind of morphed into different holy days or holidays in different religions. So, for example, Easter is a springtime holiday that symbolizes renewal and rebirth. In Judaism, Passover, Purim are both celebrated in the spring. You know, one of the symbols of Passover is the egg, right? This symbol, again, just like Easter, this symbol of rebirth. You don't eat leavened bread on Passover. It's this idea really of spring cleaning, right? Spring cleansing your body. In Thailand, there is a festival on the spring equinox, a water festival celebrating the freshness. In India, there's I'm not sure how to pronounce it. I think it's Holi, where people throw colored powder at each other on the spring equinox, symbolizing the fresh colors of spring. Central Asia celebrates Nowruz, spring equinox, which means new day. So one of the phases of the cycle is planting. After planting, spring, we move into summer. And in the summer phase has a different energy than the spring phase. If spring is about newness and new beginnings, summer is about settling in to growing those new beginnings. In the spring, we plant many different seeds. In the summer, we do the persistent and consistent work of watering those seeds and making sure those seeds get enough sun and growing and growing and growing. Summer is about growth. We see this at the summer solstice, which is the longest day of the year. It's literally the biggest. The sun is going to grow all year long. And solstice actually means, from the Latin, the sun stands still. Sol is sun, and stis is like sticks. The sun sticks in its fullness for three full days before it actually starts to get the days start to get shorter and shorter again, right? So we have the most sunlight on the solstice. And this idea of growth, this idea of the most sunlight, you know, it can also correspond to the cycle of the moon, which the full moon. Or if we look at the cycle of a day, of a 24-hour period, it's noon, right? It's high noon. It's when the sun is highest in the sky and hottest in the day. We can also correspond these things to a woman's life cycle, right? So if spring is about the maiden time of life, then summer is about the mother time of life. not necessarily being a physical mother to children, right? But it's about this idea of mothering, of nurturing. From there, the next phase of the cycle is the autumn, a harvest time. That happens on autumn equinox. Again, the sun has been getting smaller and smaller and smaller, or the days, I should say, have been getting shorter and shorter from the longest day of the year in the summer solstice. And again, it's half day, half night, but on the other end now, the autumn equinox. And this is a moment of harvest. This is the moment where we've worked through the growth phase. We've given it the sunlight and the water every single day. And now the fruits have grown, and we get to pluck the fruit off the trees, to do the harvest, to enjoy the fruits of our labor, and also save some of those fruits for the winter as well. It can correspond to right after the full moon, then the moon, the full moon is similar to the summer solstice, it's the fullest, right? And then it starts to wane and wane and wane. So that period right after the full moon, as it starts to get smaller and smaller, it can correspond to the sunset part of the day. It can correspond in a woman's life cycle to the queen time. Now, it used to be that people never spoke about queen. It was just maiden, mother, and crone. But a woman named Donna Hennis, about 20 years ago, said, wait, hold on a second. We're letting women be young maidens, we're seeing them as mothers, and we're seeing them as old crones, but what about when they're in their mastery? What about when they're in their queen phase? What about, when they're in their mid-40s, 50s, 60s, into their 70s, where they're not quite in that crone place yet? They're in their full mastery. They're harvesting so many of the experiences that they've created in their lives. And then after harvesting, we can think of winter or releasing, letting go, right? The winter time, winter solstice, which is the shortest day of the year and the longest night of the year, is around the time of Christmas, right? The silent night. It's around the time of so many of the holidays this time, light candles, because it's the darkest moment, and it's about lighting a light in this time. Hanukkah in the Jewish tradition is the festival of light. Kwanzaa, in African American tradition, lights lights. Diwali from India, lights lights. And during this winter solstice, during this winter time, it really is the quiet. It's when the earth, we've already harvested, and the earth goes silent for a bit. It releases. It's let go of all of the leaves on the trees, or most of the trees, of the fruit. The animals are going into their hibernation. And it's a moment of sleep. It's a moment of rest. It's a moment of letting go. Or it's really after the letting go. It's the beyond the letting go, that silent void, that mystery, that letting whatever is being released to really die and regenerate. It corresponds to, in terms of the wheel of the month, the dark of the moon, right before the new moon. After the moon is full, 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 it starts to get smaller and smaller and smaller in the sky, and there's a day day and a half where the moon is not visible at all in the sky. It's in that void before the new moon, again, the dark of the moon. In terms of the cycle of a day, we can think of it as the night time, the dark of the night. We can think of it, as I was saying earlier, as that crone time in a woman's life cycle. We see these four phases even in a woman's monthly cycle, right? So when a woman is bleeding, it's like that release moment, that winter time. When a woman is in the follicular phase, when she produces the follicle-stimulating hormones, that the estrogen and the testosterone begin to rise, that's right after she bleeds. That's in that spring phase, that planting phase. And then she ovulates, right? It's the like the culmination. An egg is released. It's like the summer solstice. And then after that culmination, the egg is released, the hormone levels begin to decline. She goes into the luteal phase of the month, and that's like the harvest. I was thinking this morning, we could probably even divide an orgasm into four phases of a cycle. So all of life's projects go in cycles, whether it's your health, your work, your relationships, your business, your home, any area of your life. And as you know, we were saying earlier, different projects within a particular area of your life can be in a different phase in the cycle. So, for example, you might be in harvest when it comes to your one-on-one clients. You may have really worked hard to really fulfill your client load, but you're in a planting phase when it comes to group programs. So you can be in different phases depending on what project. So what that also means is just because it's actually the season of spring, right, the actual springtime in the wheel of the year, that doesn't mean that all of your projects in your life are starting anew or you're planting seeds in every area of your life. And it doesn't mean that just because it's the actual season of winter that everything is on break. That's kind of a misconception for a lot of people who work with the seasons. It is nice to have like an feel into an overarching season, like in winter, maybe in an overarching way you slow down a little bit, perhaps, right? But it's also too simple. It's not nuanced enough for real life. Cycles, also, these cycles are on a continuum, right? So what that means is there's no beginning and there's no end. We don't start in the spring and end in the winter, right? It's on a continuous loop. So for an example, a relationship like my marriage has gone through many cycles, four phases, right? John and I have moments where we're starting anew and something new is coming into the relationship, a new way of relating to each other, a new way of being or whatever it is. And that goes through four phases of the cycle and then we move into the next one, right? So any project is always going through cycles. It can also have an overarching cycle, you know, with the mini cycles moving through it. I was mentioning this last week in the awareness lab, but I want to mention it again because I think it's so potent. A lot of stress is the result of the perception that we live a linear life instead of a circular one. We get a lot of stress when we think that life is linear instead of cyclical. So, for example, winter or being in a releasing phase, you know, we tend to think that it's bad because it means that it's the end of something, instead of realizing that the winter always leads to the rebirth and the renewal of spring. So take a moment and consider this for yourself. We're going to over the next 4 weeks, we're going to get real deep into each of the phases of the cycle and the embodying the archetypes that go with each of them so that you can really move through each of the phases with ease. But for now, as you just think about the four phases, which is the one that you tend to excel in the most? So are you really great at starting new things? Or are you really great at letting things go? Or are you really great at growing? Or are you really great at owning and celebrating, harvesting, right? Which is the phase that you tend to do the best? And which is the phase that you tend to get stuck in? Just so you know for yourself as we go into this. All right, we're almost ready to move into our Q&A, but there are a couple of other things that I want to make sure I share for today. I want to talk a little bit for those of you that are working with clients, just how to apply some of what we looked at today to your client work. So I believe that a really big part of the work that we do as coaches, as guides, as teachers, as healers, transformational leaders, is to notice and create awareness for clients around their patterns. So to notice and create awareness for clients around our patterns. So that being said, based on the work that we did today, if you're working with clients, you know, I'd love for you to start thinking about what are some of your clients' survival mechanisms, their go-to mechanisms. You may even want to explore that with them, you know, as it comes up in your sessions. Where are your clients in rhythm and where are your clients in disrhythm? It will help you as you coach them and as you work with them, you know, knowing these things and taking note of these things will help you create awareness for them in the right moment or connect the dots for them. What overarching season is your client in? It's really important awareness for you as their coach or their guide or their healer. Or even if you're working with teammates, right? It's not clients, but teammates or coworkers, right? Are they like in a big production season right now? Are they in summer? Are they in a winter? Is that where, do you sense that that's actually where they need to be? Or is that a survival instinct for them? Which of the seasons do they get stuck in? So if you work with clients and you want to go deeper in your work with them, one piece of homework that I want to give you this week is to do an assessment of each of your clients based on these pieces that we looked at today, just for yourself, before you even bring it to them, just start to assess each of them and see where they're at. Okay, so take a moment. We looked at a lot today, and I want you to first just write down what is it that you're taking away from our time together today. What's a big takeaway from our time together today? In a few moments, I want to hear your takeaways and your questions, but I also want to give you some homework. So first of all, again, if you're working with clients, do that client assessment. If you feel called, continue to work with the voice and the energy of your outdated survival mechanism. You can continue to write from it. Do a couple writing sessions like we did today over this next week. And also track it. So what I mean by tracking it is start to notice as you move through your day when you shift into that outdated survival mechanism, when you shift out of your inner wisdom and into the survival mechanism. If you can start to track it and start to notice it, even if you don't realize it until a few hours later, right, but to keep this top of mind, you're going to be able to start catching yourself when you're in it. And then same thing with being in sacred rhythm, right? And the two are probably related. When you're in your outdated survival mechanism, you're probably in disrhythm, right? But start to notice when you feel in sacred rhythm and when you don't. Be like a detective. Notice when you're in rhythm. What's the environment? Why? You know, what's going through your mind? How do you feel in your body? Getting this all to you verbally, I'll type it out in our Facebook group. Eventually I'll have some worksheets for it. Because of the pandemic, things are just working a little slower on the back end, which is why I didn't promise worksheets on the sales page. But I'll put together some tracking worksheets for you guys. And the next week we're going to dive into our first archetype. Okay, so I'd love for you to also post your takeaway in the Facebook group, your big takeaway from today. Make sure you get into the Facebook group. I'm going to be sharing also some additional homework, a little bit of a visualization that I think you'll really like. So let's move into our Q&A time. I'd love to hear any takeaways that you want to share from our time together today, any questions that you have in general, as well as if you want to bring forward any questions that are coming up in your business that you need support with, marketing questions, messaging questions, systems questions, inner block questions, anything like that. So it's star 2 to raise your hand. What would you like to share? What would you like to ask? Let's see. Carmen.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here today. And the session has been amazing, very full of little wisdom nuggets. And I love the journaling that we did. And my questions are kind of in line with that, with what's coming up and forward. I think my survival mechanism is to freeze and hide.
Yeah.
And as I kept writing on it, what was coming up is that I freeze and hide under the premise of not being able to handle what's coming up.
Yeah.
And I need someone else to take care of it. And
yeah.
That translates in my business on always hiring someone to do my marketing. Always hiring someone to help me create my content, like not having that trust that I can do it myself.
Yeah.
And in this situation, I'm in that conflict actually today of having to talk to the people that I work with that I cannot afford to have different social media management and stuff like that, and I need to do it myself, and I'm terrified and petrified. Mm-hmm. And the big question that came forward with that, which has to do with the takeaway and with the making a breakthrough, a transformation, I do need guidance because I tend to go from I do nothing to I do everything 100%, 155%, I become
mm-hmm.
overwhelmed, and I freeze again.
Yes.
And so what would be your offering in from that perspective to help my little one start taking responsibility for what she can do and help her own her gifts and her beauty and take action without the action healing the spirit?
Yeah. Yeah. first of all, really beautiful awarenesses. I'm so glad all of it came through. It feels really timely. And tell me if this resonates for you, Carmen, my senses in this situation. What's really going to help your little one is to actually bring your wise woman in so that the little one knows that she's taken care of. And so let me just ask you right now, just take a moment and close your eyes and connect in to, you know, we can call it your wise woman, we can call it like your healthy adult who knows exactly how much responsibility is aligned responsibility and then where that line, where the line crosses over.
Mm-hmm.
And really connect in with her. Where is she living in your body today?
It's a little confusing because I feel it in my gut,
mm-hmm.
but it comes forward with a little bit of anxiety that I'm not sure right now if it's excitement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear you. I don't know either, but let's go with it. That's what's coming up, okay. And let's see. Okay? So just connect in with the wise part of you that's in your gut, the wise part of you. The one that understands aligned responsibility. What does it want to tell you about this social media manager situation? What is the aligned responsibility for you to take when it comes to your social media?
That I have a lot to say and I actually need to manage it myself to let all those little wisdom to come forward and be seen and be heard.
Yeah, because they fall through the cracks when somebody
yes.
else sometimes is doing it. Okay, beautiful. Continue to connect in with your gut. You're doing really well with your wise woman self. And ask your wise woman, ask the wisdom in your gut, how will you know if you're starting to cross over into that 155% zone that you're doing too much? How will you know so that you can catch yourself?
More than overwhelmed, I feel tired.
So you know that those first signs of feeling tired, I want you to bring yourself back to this conversation so you know that you're doing too much.
Yeah.
And let's just stick with this for one more moment. Continue to connect in with that wise part of you. What does she want you, your little girl, to know? What does she want
that
your little
girl? That she's not going to get hurt. That she's not going to get hurt. That it's not her vulnerability, the one that is coming up, is what we have learned together.
Yes.
What will come forward.
Yes.
And she's not going to get hurt.
Can you feel that, Carmen?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. So we don't have time for it today, but you can take this further by really communicating that to your little girl. Really
yes.
letting her know that. Okay? How does all of that feel?
Amazing.
Good. I'm so glad.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Great to hear your voice.
I love you.
You too. Okay. Who is this from New York? 0161.
Hey, it's Ayla.
Hi, Ayla.
Hi, Joanna. Hello. Thank you so much for this. The survival instincts piece is what's sticking with me today. First, I wrote down freeze. And then I wrote down the, I have to change everything. And as I was writing about the, I have to change everything, it's what came up, which I thought was really interesting, is like, do it now, right now. Everyone's distracted. No one's going to notice that you left, and you can do it all right now. Just like, you know, like no one's expecting anything from you, and no one is going to remember that they expect anything from you if you just disappear and don't have to show up again with it, you know, and you can start new where you are. And like, there was this like total redo of my life. I mean, I think even wrote like, this really wasn't your life anyway, was one of the things that kind of channeled through. And so it was really insightful. And also being a military brat, I think it's also sort of a pattern that, you know, was imposed upon me, but that I liked, you know, that I got to like start in a new place and nobody knew anything about me. And I could be, it's kind of a reinventing component in my system. Yeah. And yeah, and also, you know, there is a wise part of me that's like, okay, well, wait, maybe you don't have to change everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, and in this era, in this day and age, I can keep friends, which wasn't possible in my past, really. You know, as a military brat, you left people, you left whole relationships, you left whole things, you know, and nowadays you can at least like bring people along with you, which which is good to hear. And go ahead, feel free to jump in.
Yeah, I mean, what I want to reflect, and you can tell me if this resonates, this may not, but I think it relates back to that, you know, you can take people with you, is what I think I'm hearing is that the outdated or the warped survival mechanism is kind of like this manic restarting in private, but my sense is that, you know, there's some restarting or, you know, planting that's actually really useful for you. And probably how you can tell the difference is if you're willing to share it with others or with anyone. How does that land for you?
Well, it's really interesting because it sort of slipped out of my mouth with some friends the other night. And I was like, oh, my God. I told them what my plans are, you know, or what I'm thinking about changing, you know, and I was almost like wanting to like pull it back in and like, don't tell anyone. Cause
so that's when you know that there's something that wants to be planted for real, not from the world. Does that land?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would continue as to well track as, that.
Yeah. Okay. As well as the thing of like, it's okay to end something of my own volition rather than my dad getting transferred and that's what ends things. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
there's something in the beginning, the new seeds, and there's something about the ending.
And they're so intricately tied to each other, right?
Yeah. Oh, thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome. Beautiful. Good. All right. Christine.
I'm so blessed to be here. Thank you. So what resonates for me the most today is my reason for joining. And I wanted to share that with you in addition to some hang-ups that I've been struggling with since I've been doing this new work that I've been doing that I'm completely in love with and passionate about. So my reason for joining this was so that I could come back to really standing strong and confident in the truth of who I am as a woman and as a leader in my industry. However, I've been struggling with the putting myself out there in that way. I've been struggling with showing up fully as that spiritual leader and leader in the industry and just melding it all together. And I have this back talk that comes to mind almost every day that says no one wants, you know, these dietitians are not going to resonate with this woo and I don't even like to use the word woo because to me that's not what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, because they're so science-minded and everything has to be evidence-based and proven and all the things, sometimes I feel like when I'm talking, because I have a group that is really nice of over 600 dietitians, mm-hmm. Facebook group, and I feel like every time I'm talking into a black hole because I have convinced myself that no one is listening.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I have convinced myself that they don't want to hear this unconventional talk.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that you can impart some wisdom
mm-hmm.
because this is the struggle. This is like the thing that's right before the big breakthrough and transformation, I believe.
I hear it. And you and I haven't worked together in a while, but I
mm-hmm.
still follow, you know, I follow you and I follow your stuff. And it was like as soon
mm-hmm.
as you said the word spiritual leader, I was like, well, she's never said that before.
Oh, I did say that, didn't I?
So first, I just want to acknowledge it feels like there's already movement and evolution just since the last few and I spoke, the fact that you're even bringing this forward and
mm-hmm.
you're calling yourself a spiritual leader.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's number one. There's movement here.
Mm.
And what I'm hearing, tell me if I'm getting this right, is, you know, the core of the core of the core here is a belief that if you are really fully yourself, you are really fully who you are, no one, it's not even that no one will like you, but I'm hearing it's like no one will think that you're legit.
Yeah.
Is that right? Would you say like that's a core piece here?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Or the messaging is just not legit, you know?
Yeah. So my question for you, Christine, is where did you learn that from? That if you're fully who you are, you're not going to be taken seriously. This is not from your life as a dietitian. This is, I have a feeling this is a pattern for you.
If I'm not fully who I am, can you repeat that so I can just like really
if you show up fully as you are, if you show and reveal all of yourself,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to be taken seriously.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I can recall some memory on that.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
Yeah,
yes.
So you don't have to share it now, but what's important is the awareness that this actually isn't
mm-hmm.
about the dietitian industry at all. Can you see that?
I can, but I feel like I'm having a hard time still. But yes, it'll connect.
Yes. Just... Well, right. Remember, breakthrough versus transformation.
Right. It will connect.
What's the part of your mind? The word isn't coming to me right now, but like the fear part of your mind is saying, this is really about like you can't show your spiritual self to these dietitians because they're not going to buy it.
Yeah.
That's the illusion. The place where this is coming from is whatever memory was just recalled from your childhood.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I feel like I've lived that all my life. Yeah. It's that's who I am. Like, this has always been this way since growing up. Like, I've never really had a chance to fully be who I am because we moved so much.
Yeah, so that's going to be projected onto anything that you do until you unhook the memory from what's in front of you right now.
Oh, my gosh. So you know me well enough to know, like, I'm so ready for this.
You totally are. So
I want to do this work.
I know. So so it's a process, right? If we had like a full hour, we would, right? But for right now, I want to give you some homework around this. We're going to just consistently work on this. And I want you to start dialoguing with the little girl, however old you were when this pattern first came into being. Do some writing with her.
Okay.
Ask her questions. Why did this come into being? How does it make you feel? What are you scared of? And let's just give her some more of a voice. That's part one of the homework. Do it more than once this week. Do it a couple times. See what wants to come through. The second part of the homework, tell me if you're up for it, is in your Facebook group, Christine. I want you to post something that's more spiritual.
Yeah, totally.
And you can post go ahead.
I've been, like, little bit, putting things
Okay,
in
so
there.
What's the next, maybe, like, bigger step than what you've already taken?
Okay. I'll work on it.
Okay. Will you let us know in the Facebook group? And if you get stuck, let us know, too. I'll help you through it. But I want you to, even if it hurts, you know, even if it's really uncomfortable, take it to the next step in the Facebook group.
Yeah, I need to do that.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Who is this in Hartford?
It's Catherine.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Joanna. So I have a client in 3 minutes, so I'm going to speak fast, but I had a knock me over with a feather moment at the very end of this call. When you asked us to think about which of the cycles or phases we do best and which we struggle with the most. And knowing you know me enough and you know my story enough, so what I do best is the summer. It's the work. It's the mothering, right? And what I struggle with the most is being able to reap the harvest, right, the autumn. And you know, it's been 15 years for me in this therapist to coach, can never quite get the coaching, mentoring piece off the ground. So that just the being stuck in the mothering piece, you know, with my mother-in-law story was just like literally between my eyes, like, oh my God, because no big surprise, my survival instinct was you better hurry up. You're not getting any younger. Your mother was dead by this age. She never got to live out her best years. You're not going to either if you don't make something happen now, right? If you don't do your work, your sole purpose, you know, you'll be a failure and you'll let yourself and everybody else down, including God, right? It's like, whoa. Anyway, that was my survival instinct, and my big takeaway was that being stuck in the doing the work, doing the work, doing the work, doing the work, and never getting to the harvest.
I'm so glad that came through. That it's like subtle and big all at the same time, you know?
Yeah.
And so, I know you have to get off in a sec, so I just want to ask you this.
Yeah.
Based on what you're seeing, what's an action that feels really aligned to take this week?
Honestly, I don't have anything coming. Right? If I said something, it would just be something I pulled out of my ass. I wouldn't.
So I want you to take this question for you to meditate on. I know you have, like, you have to hop on a call, and so it's hard sometimes to sink in.
Yeah.
You know you've got. So just take this question and meditate on it. The question is, what is one thing I can do this week that would boldly put me in the harvest?
What is one thing that I can do this week that will, what was the word you used?
Boldly put me in the harvest.
Boldly, okay.
All right, let's just see what wants to come from that.
Okay, yeah, I'll need to sit with that for a little bit because this is the place where I get stuck all
yeah.
the time. So
yeah, I know. And
I can feel the resistance
uh-huh.
of it, you know, bubbling
yeah.
up even as I'm writing the question out. So
yeah. Yeah, I hear that there's resistance, but you totally outed yourself by sharing, right? You
yeah.
could have hopped off the phone. You have somewhere to
like,
be. So there's resistance, but there's also desire. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me know. And if nothing
right.
comes, let me know too, and I'll help you. Okay?
All right. Love you. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. I want to honor that it's 5 o'clock, and also I have another 20 minutes, and there's a bunch of hands raised, and so I'm going to keep on going so long as you can hang on, I can hang on. Who is this from Toronto?
Hi, it's Naomi.
Hi.
So I raised my hand to speak, and I guess after listening, I'm feeling uncertain as to what I want to share, but I guess I'm going to just take a moment to tune into that.
Yeah.
Right, okay. I guess a lot of women's responses to talking about showing up on social media or not showing up or hiding. When the pandemic broke out, I found myself feeling really called to step deeper into my light and kind of step beyond my comfort zone on social media, which I have a communications coordinator who does all my social media. I don't love being on there myself. So I retreat from it. So, but I found myself feeling motivated to put myself out there and show up and post inspiring messages and, you know, perform songs and all kinds of stuff. And then I did a performance on Zoom. I do playback theater, which is a way of inviting folks to share stories and we reenact them on the spot. But I was Zoom bombed and it was really traumatic.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still like, recovering from that. It was already like, it was March 29th, and it was an anti-Semitic attack, and so it made me feel really vulnerable to put myself out there online.
Yeah.
And I am planning on doing another show in a few weeks online, and I do feel called to, you know, continuing to post and, you know, be of service through creative practices online, but there is just, you know, what's coming up, I feel, is sacred. I guess in my sacred rhythm is the feeling of a lot of fear and vulnerability because I moved through resistance to be able to do work online and to be posting online, and then I had that experience, and so it's feel like it's kind of, yeah, having to really push through again to kind of make my creative offerings and lead online at this time.
Yeah. So, first of all, thank you for sharing. I'm so sorry that happened. And of course you're feeling all of the ways that you're feeling. And even with the fear, and you can tell me if you agree with this, but as I'm listening to you, even as I hear that there's fear, I also hear that there's resolve and commitment and inspiration to show up. Am I getting that right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And so what is a belief that can kind of be like a guiding light for you as you step into this next performance that can help you stay attached to the motivation and the inspiration and the commitment with the guiding belief?
Hmm. I am supported. Mm. I'm held. And I don't have to do it alone. I can get people who are more technically savvy than myself to help and build my team, you know, so that I don't have to manage, the territory that still feels very new and emergent and raw for me, you know, doing all the online stuff. Doesn't have to, yeah, but even though there was, sorry, that's my daughter. even though there was, you know, a very fear-based experience that was, like, you know, an actual fear-based experience, it doesn't have to get stuck there.
No.
There can be movement.
Yeah. Yeah, beautiful. So I want you to write that down. Even though a scary experience happened, you know, however you want to put it in your words, even though a scary thing happened, how do you want to finish that sentence? Nevertheless,
yeah, what? I don't have to get stuck there. It doesn't have to remain as fear. It can move into transformation. It can move into light.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. So if it feels right, I want you to connect in with that statement, you know, like as often as need be, like really be with it, build that up. How does that feel?
Yeah, it feels necessary before I take the next leap into doing something online again.
Yeah, good. Beautiful. I'm so glad you're doing something online again.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Jessica.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can.
Great. Thank you. Yeah, so I guess this won't come as a surprise, but I, in the survival instinct, what I realized was I think I'm really good at being in spring, and I think one of my survival instincts is to sort of run around and always try to learn more, and kind of it's almost like trying really hard to be a really good student and learn everything and know everything rather than trusting that I already know enough. And, you know, I guess what's challenging is that I also feel like I've done some of those strengths, you know, those strengths attribute tests or whatever.
Yep.
And I think that learning and asking questions is one of my biggest strengths.
Yeah.
So I'm always trying to figure out how, you know, how I can both get out of this survival instinct, which isn't that productive, but also take advantage of what I think is one of my biggest strengths.
Yeah. So, and you may not be able to answer this fully now, but I'll ask you and also give it to you as a homework question. So first of all, I'm so glad that you're aware of it. And it's such a great illustration of the fact that oftentimes our greatest strength is also our Achilles heel, depending on how we use it. So I love that you're sharing this and bringing this forward. And so my question for you, Jessica, is I want you to, and this is actually one that you probably can't answer now because I want you to give some thought to it. Actually, I want you to make two lists side by side. One list is times and situations where you've used this as a strength. And be a detective. I want you to notice how you've used it as a strength. What are the inner messages that you're hearing or telling yourself when you've used it as a strength? What, you know, what's the environment? You know, how do you feel? All of that. And then other column, predictably, is going to be times and situations where it's been the outdated survival. You've used it in the outdated survival instinct way, and I want you to be a detective there as well. blur the messages that you're telling yourself. How are you feeling in your body? What's the environment? What kind of people is it with? What are the fear, right? And just really inspect it so that you can start, you know, first just on an intellectual level to start to understand this a bit more and see how and when you can use it as a strength versus knowing when it's crossing over into the survival instinct. How does that feel as a next step?
Yeah, I love it. It sounds
awesome.
Sounds good.
Okay, keep us posted. Let me know.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay. Who's this from San Francisco? 0047.
Hey, it's Anna.
Hi.
Hi. I totally didn't expect to get called on. Oh, that's hilarious. Hi. One, thank you. This has been great. And I do work with clients. And I was just kind of thinking around, like, this idea of, like, doing the assessment for each of my clients. I work, you know, in healing and transformation, and people come to me for basically, like, kind of very similar reasons, although it presents differently, obviously, in each person's life. And I just was thinking, like, what, like, if you had any, like, deeper guidance around this assessment for them, it's like, do I assess them in their transformational journey with me? Do I assess them, you know, in, like, whatever different parts of their life that I have access to, which is, you know, not obviously not that much. I was just curious to know, like, what other guidance you could provide around that?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I'm going to kind of give you two pieces here that kind of seem like anti each other, but just go with it. So the first is go with your intuition with each client on where you need to assess, right? Because every person, we always say in Sacred Depths Coach Training, coach the what based on the who, you know, and every who is different.
Sure.
So, on the one hand, with the assessment, I just want you to go with your intuition. For some people, it might be one thing. For some people, it might be another, you know, thing. Just kind of see. And then the other kind of piece here is I would look at specifically with the issues that you're working with them on. You know, some of these questions that I asked. So number one, tell me just a little bit more, like, what kind of issues do you work with your clients?
Sure. Sure. Kind of like the heart of the work is around healing old patterns and healing trauma from the past. And so much of the framework is based on, like, radical self-awareness to self acceptance, self-compassion to self-love. And so it's, like, really a journey of, you know, doing, like, deep healing of healing the old wounds paired with, you know, learning to really love yourself, you know, because no one was really taught how to do that. And so people are coming to me because they're beating their head against the wall. They can't figure out why, you know, this one thing or everything in their life isn't working. Or they're in transition and they just want to create a new life experience that is radically different from what they're transitioning out of. They have the awareness to know that, you know, that wasn't working, but they need the support and the guidance to move into something. So there's a big transitional element, but there's also just, like, a, you know, a self-actualization piece of, like, you know, just wanting to have life be the way they want it, and why can't it be? You know, why hasn't it worked?
Yes. Okay, got it. So first of all, for each of them, I would, you know, kind of see as best as you know, and you can also have conversation about it, like what some of their survival mechanisms are, because that will just inform just how, you know, how you approach them and how you work with them. So for sure, I would ask that. And then for the people that are in transition and, you know, it's like they really want something new, assess this, but you also may want to have some conversation with them around it some people that are ready for something new are firmly more in the place of, like, they're literally mm-hmm. ready to plant something new. And we'll get more into this over the next 4 weeks. This is just kind of an initial assessment. Some people that mm-hmm. are ready to start something new are actually still in winter. They still have some more letting go to do, or they still have some more grieving to do, or they still just
yeah.
need to kind of sit and not do for a while, right? And then other
sure.
people that are ready for something new are actually still haven't harvested the old yet, and so we can't really move on to the new until we at least
mm-hmm.
get something from the old, even if the old didn't work out in the way that we thought it
okay.
did. So
yeah.
it's good for you as the practitioner to kind of know where each of them is at, because that's going to determine a lot, you know, what you look at with them and how you strategize with them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, very helpful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Great question.
Awesome.
Okay. Leah. You there, Leah? You there, Leah from Australia? No? Okay. I'll come back to you. Rachel.
Joanna?
Hi.
Hi. Just really wanting to come in again and totally affirm that I feel I'm in the right place at the right time. And just the experience of the shift that I've had here from hearing all of the wonderful women share, really supporting me to deal with that trigger that happened to me earlier on. And it's all, this channel for me is all about that memory that I also reclaimed when you did the work with, I think the lady's name is Carla. So I got that.
Yeah.
And I've jumped on it big time.
Good.
And I really wanted to share in that homework as well.
Good.
And it's so clear I've got the belief, or this part of me operating in that nobody wants to hear what I've got to say. I'm too loud. I just show up too big. I'm not wanted. And it's just so apparent that conversation, that internal dialogue. And I've sat here and I've unveiled it through the conversations that have been happening. So I just wanted to join in the homework if I could. And then my work is about evolving, supporting, coaching, guiding, and mirroring evolving personal medicine. And it's a transformational journey, and it's a deep healing journey. And so my question then is, I guess that we can be in, or my clients can be in, my mentees can be in more than one season at a time?
Yes. Yeah, I think we all are. I think we have these overarching seasons that we're in, right? There may be a slower moments where we need more rest in every area. You know, that's winter. There may be moments where we're just feeling a lot more energy in our lives. Maybe we're in spring or, you know, summer, but then each of the particular projects can be in a different phase.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Yeah, thank you. Really appreciate tonight. And my takeaway is that through hearing the stories and the shares, I'm getting present and more confident in the show up. I've still got a long way to go. I've got so many endeavors. I've been cycling. I've got circles going. But I just feel the disconnect from the space I want to be in. And I'm hoping and I'm trusting and I feel that taking this journey is going to support me to move into that space. Thank you, Joanne.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. There are a couple of more hands raised that keep on going up and down, and I'm not sure if you guys are raising your hands or if there's something wrong with my computer system. But I do, actually, it's my daughter's birthday, so I have to go at this point. If there are more questions, please post them in the Facebook group. I want to hear them. I want to support you on them in any way that I can. And I just want to thank everybody for all of your presence today. I'm thinking about you all, and I will talk to you soon. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.